If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We are going to talk about some of the jurisprudential laws about the prayer based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with you, Sheikh. Would you start answering this question, Sheikh? If a person misses a part of the prayer or deliberately ignores it, will happen to his or her prayer?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, there are different scenarios with regards to the question you just asked. First of all, if a person deliberately and intentionally leaves out a part of the prayer, then the prayer becomes white in the event that that part which is left out is obligatory and an essential part of the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if you leave out qira'ah or recitation, or, for example, ruku, or let's say the zikr of the prayers, the zikr or the recitations which are obligatory, then it becomes void.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have to differentiate between the rukun and the non-rukun, the basic elements or the fundamental elements and the non-fundamental elements which the prayer does not depend on. But they are obligatory. For example, we have the niyyah, which is a rukun, which is an essential part of the prayer. And then without a rukna, of course, the whole prayer collapses. It does not, it's meaningless. And then, of course, we have the ruku and sujood. These are also the basic elements or the elemental parts, as they usually term it. And if these parts are left out deliberately or, intentionally or unintentionally, then the prayer becomes white. Because the prayer is based on these elements, and as long as these elements are there, the prayer is valid. But at the moment you just skip or ignore or leave out or forget, it doesn't make any difference. The prayer becomes void. As for those parts of the prayer which are not which are obligatory, but they are not elemental, they are not very the rukun of the prayers, then again we have to differentiate between there are some there is some classification. For example, there are some parts of the prayer which, if you forget to mention or to recite, you can make it up after the prayer. For example, if you forget the tashahhud. And of course, you can repeat the tashahhud after the prayer. In other words, you can perform the qada of that tashahhud immediately after the prayer. And also, if you forget, for example, one of the sajdas, you can, because if you forget both of the sajdas, the prayer becomes void.
Yes.
But if you forget one of the prostrations or sajdas, then you can do it later on. And of course, there is always the sajdat sahw, which is a kind of compensation for the things you miss. Remember, let's not forget that actually the essential parts cannot be left out intentionally. If it is left out, then the prayer definitely becomes void. And the event that you forget or that you make an error and you want to repeat it, of course, as long as you have not moved to the next rukun, the next element, important basic elements, you can go back or reverse and repeat it. For example, if you happen to forget one ayah or one verse of the Quran, which is, for example, in the qira'ah of the prayer or alhamd in Surah Ikhlas, then you can go back and repeat it. But the moment you are in the ruku, you cannot go back because you have just crossed. You have crossed that point and now you have to perform the ruku. After that, of course, there are some special cases. There are certain cases, of course, which in which sajdatu sahw is required. We use the term sajdat sahw, but of course there are two sajdats that you need to perform. The term sajdat sahw means one sajda, but that's not correct. We need to perform two sajdats of sahw. The sajda which is performed when an inadvertent mistake does take place. And when it comes to, of course, mustahab parts, of course, there are many mustahab actions within the prayer. For example, you can deliberately leave out adhan, iqama, qunud, you know, and also you can just do one tasbih of tasbihat arba instead of three. So instead you can say, for example, one Allahu Akbar instead of three if you are in a hurry or if you want to, but that means you will gain less reward in this. Yes,
exactly. So what you mean is that if the recommended element of any part of the prayer in fact is deliberately left out, then the prayer is not harmed.
It's not harmed, of course.
Yes. Okay, but the basic elements, the fundamental elements, cannot be left out deliberately.
Definitely,
right.
Deliberately, but then even if you happen to
leave
it out by mistake, inadvertently, then your prayer is affected.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about the prayer based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Well, Sheikh Javid, what is the ruling regarding sajda or doing sajda on the back of one's hand? Because I've seen some people doing so, you know, and there's some kind of ambiguity here, you know.
Yeah.
Well, on the back of one's hand under a specific circumstance. So would you please shed some light on this?
It's a very good question because many people still wonder as to whether it's permissible to perform sajda on the back of one's hand. The religious authorities do not allow doing sajda on the back of one's hand. You know what generally people believe or perceive, think to be correct is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, doing sajda on the back of one's hand, there is no mention of the permissibility of doing sajda on one's nails or the back of one's hand. And any, for example, riwayat, or because as long as you have access to a piece of stone or to a piece of clay or something, a piece of wood or even cotton,
yes.
Let alone, for example, things which are part of the surface of the world, like leaves of tree or grass or something, you know, as long as you have access to these things, and you always do have access.
Mm-hmm.
Except in certain very few cases.
Yeah.
Now, in the event, for example, that you do not have access to any of these things, if you are wearing, a dress made of cotton, because cotton comes from vegetable, you know, then it's permissible to do sajda on that clothing, which is made of cotton, you know. But doing
sajda, there is any mixture of cotton and something else like nylon, for example, like plastic?
Of course, then
it's synthetic, right?
Yeah, it's not pure, okay?
Uh-huh. Okay.
So in that case, of course, even then, you know, it's not permissible to do sajda on the back of hand. So we have to actually let people know that doing sajda on the back of one's hand is not allowed. And there are many other things on which sajda is not allowed.
Yes. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Well, we've been talking around some of the jurisprudential laws about prayer based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javid. And this is me, Muhammad Jawad, signing off.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salam.
دين محيط.